that Mike's just making a point to me that's pretty important to our investigations.
Simple point is that, is the, if you, simple point is that, I won't grass. I'll never grass in a million years on another person. If you grass, girl, it's not just me and you, it's somebody else that's involved.
Yeah.
And I don't like being, I don't want to go down, because I think if I do go down in prison, I don't want to go down in a prison on the grass.
Yeah.
I've got a code of ethics. And if the prison people found out that I was a grass, I would have stand 2 minutes chance in prison. So therefore, I'm not grassing. But the whole point is this, girl, and this is that, and you and Ad, Ad, you know it, you can prove where that bleeding watch come from. I can prove you've done the hand graving. I can prove how it was done.
That's the watch owned by the Johnson brothers.
That was the watch.
Now, is that the watch?
Your words, that Thursday. And I might as well, because you'll probably get this tape, I might as well bloody well put the shits into it. I might as well, what the hell, that girl? 100% sober. But I might as well ground your nose in it, the way you ground my nose into it. The day we made love, and the day we made love, he said to me, I'll never see Caroline ever again. That was blackmail. That was sheer bloody blackmail. But previous to that, before we even attempted to make love, you knew about the watch. Because I told you all about that watch. And she said, well, you're a clever bastard. She said, I am here for that. So we went back, we made love, and then afterwards you blackmailed me. I'm not trying to get back at you, Ab.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to point out that you're not as clever as you think. You can say you can prove the diary is this, I can prove the diary the opposite, and what have you. But there's one thing that really proves this diary beyond all doubt, and it's my ace in the hole, is the watch. And even you admit it, and you said it, and you were in Central Station, Railway Station, buying me a coffee, and buying me a hamburger, and you turned round to me, and I had you on tape, Ann. I had you on tape. And you turned round to me, and she said, I don't fucking well want to know about the watch. They were your words, because I've got you on tape. And that tape is in a very, very safe house. Not Jenny's, by the way. Not anybody else's. I know exactly where that tape is. I can put my hand on that tape at any given moment in time, if I so wish. But you came round, and she said, and it was your words, and I quote, because I'm quoting you directly from the tape. She said, I always fucking well knew that watch was a forgery. But I didn't know, and these are your words, Ann. These are your exact words.
Mm.
I repeat, but these are your exact words. I always knew that watch was a forgery. But I fucking didn't know how you'd done it.
Yeah. Well, look, Mike, we've got that recorded there now. Now, you say you bought the watch for £150.
No, I paid the fella I didn't buy the watch.
Uh-huh.
I paid the fella £150 to do the job for me.
Yeah, I see. And you got a receipt?
The fella would not give me a receipt because he's a bleeding criminal himself.
Yes, but you mentioned something about a receipt to me just before. What was that in relation to, Mike?
That was just to buy the watch.
That's what I mean. That's the important one now. The receipt to buy that watch originally.
Yeah, well, I've got a receipt for the watch.
Yes. But of course, but after the job was done on it, and then it was planted again.
I'm not naming that fella.
No, but you can name the shop it was put in, though.
Oh, are you?
Yeah.
Wallasey.
A shop in Wallasey.
Yes. Johnson Brothers bought it in Wallasey, Ann.
Yes, go on.
All right. It was planted there by a friend of mine.
Who you don't want to speak about.
No, because if I go
to see your friend.
The point is, if I go and nick
I'm grassing, and I won't grass.
Yeah, but if I go to see your friend...
I won't grass.
And not to get him into trouble, but so that he says, oh, well, yes, I just did this. Mike Barrett told me to sell it there, and that's what I did.
I won't grass.
Yes. Right.
I'm sorry, I won't grass.
You won't grass. Right, well, OK, Mike, I understand
I've
that.
I've got a code of ethics, I won't
who
grass.
Who made all the marks on the watch? All the initials inside it and that?
I give my name, so history do tell what love could do to a gentleman born. Yeah. Yours truly, Jack the Ripper. I give my name, so history do tell. Yours truly, I made the marks on a watch.
Right. You made the marks on the watch.
So easy, don't...
Now, didn't you
everybody
once say...
Everybody forgets something.
You were once saying this is how they would do it. They'd rub it down first, the watch.
Yes.
With something you said. What was it you said?
Meths.
Meths.
You use meths first.
And then, did you use any other...
Yeah.
You kept rubbing and rubbing
it. No.
To ages.
Let me give you... Instead of asking questions, let me give you a history.
Right.
Of metal.
Well, no, Mike, no.
Well, let me give you a history of metal.
Tell me about the watch,
right.
Mike.
You got GM, you got brass, you got gun metal, you got this. There's only so many scratches. I can't scratch on copper.
Right.
I can't scratch on GM. Any salt merchant, any scrap metal merchant worth of salt will tell you that. I can't do that, but I can scratch on brass.
Yes.
Now, when you scratch on brass, it's very simple. You scratch on brass.
Yeah.
You put your bloody initials on brass. But the point is, how do you make it gold? How do you make gold?
I thought this was gold, this watch.
It is.
Yes.
It's a gold watch, but a brass plate at the back.
All right. Yes.
At the back?
Yes.
So it says 100% mechanical. No, I tell a lie. It's not. It can't be 100% gold because you've got a brass plate at the back.
Yes.
Nice. Now, how do you... How? Even I can't even do this, girl.
Yeah.
I wish to God I could be a bit of a worker. I can't say in brass is a gold.
No.
But the gold plating on the outside, everything else, is factual. But it was a brass backing.
That's where the business was done.
Now, how do you put your initials onto a watch, keep it running, and then rub over? I'll tell you how you do it. You scratch your initials in first. Then you put mats. And when you put your mats on the brass plate, and any scrap metal there, merchants will tell you it's weight in gold. You light it. You put a match to it, and it burns automatically. In other words, the initials are infused, if that's the appropriate word, fused into the brass.
Oh, thank you. I understand that, Mike. I'm glad you insisted on going on in that.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, once they're fused, you're left with a brass plate that has burnt to hell.
Mm.
So what do you have to do? Sheer bloody common sense. You've got to get the brass plate back to its normal standard again.
Mm.
So you go and get your brass out, and you rub, and you rub, and you rub, until there's no signs of the burn marks.
Right. Did you use anything with the brass, though?
No, just
a wire or a...
No.
Just an ordinary cloth.
Well, brass and elbow grease.
Right.
Then, when I got the brass plate back up to its initial standard, the way it was previously, before it burns it with the mats and what have you, the scratch marks were there.
And that was it done, then?
No. It wasn't done. I had to stop the watch. The watch was still bloody well ticking.
You wanted it to be broken, you mean?
Oh, I wanted it to be broken.
And how did you do that?
Oh, simple. What have you? I didn't break the last works, what have you. Simple. Screw one side, screw one the other side. Right hand side, left hand side. Take it out, and all you gotta do, take the main spring out.
Is that what you did?
And that's what I done.
Remove the main spring of that watch?
Yeah.
Now, your friend...
Who
you won't tell us about, for obvious reasons, went and took it to a pawn shop in Wallasey.
Let me tell you how I finished the watch.
Oh, yes, sell it, I thought you...
No, I hadn't finished the watch. Then I put it all back together again. Then I looked at the watch on the brass plate, and I thought to myself, oh, shit. The initials are coming up, but they're coming up under a dark colour. Now, any scrap metal merchant who has wasted gold. And I can put this on record. An awful lot of people owe me an awful lot of favours there, out there in this world, on scrap metal. And they know I was a bloody scale man, and they know I know my job with scrap metal. And what have you. The initials weren't coming up properly. It didn't come up. So I thought, what do we do again? So I thought, well, I've only got one other option. Back to the Mets. And I went back for the second time for the Mets. But this is after I removed the main spring from the watch.
Yes.
And I went back to the Mets. And I set fire to it again. And it infused, or fused, whichever which word you want to use. It's infused, actually, to be quite correct.
So you scraped the initials and so on.
Yeah, it's infused. What have you. Then after that, I had to go back and do the whole processes all over again. I had to rub down the bloody brass. I had to clean the brass. I'd done everything. I'd done the whole process over again. And this time, I was more than happy.
Oh, it was good the second time.
The second time. The first time, I wasn't too happy with it. Second time, I was more than happy. So, I had a watch with all the initials of the prostitutes.
That were murdered.
That were murdered.
By Jack the Ripper.
By Jack the Ripper.
Yeah.
So I thought to myself, now that I've got a watch, now that I've done the diary, what do we do now? I've got to get rid of this watch. So I got a friend involved, and I emphasise this on tape now, and I don't care if I die in between, I will never betray that friend. I'm sorry, I'm not a grass.
But the friend, what did he do?
He took it over the walls for me.
And do you know the name of the shop he put it in?
Yes.
Well, didn't he? He'd done it under an alias anyway, assuming that
he'd done it under an alias.
Exactly, so it matters not, does it?
Yeah. But the point is, yeah, I have actually got the name, but unfortunately, we're sitting in a car, as you say, in such and such a road. I got that. But the point is, he done it.
Yes.
Now, I don't care if I get nicked in between.
Yes.
I probably will get nicked in between.
I doubt it.
But nevertheless, I'll probably get nicked in between. But the point is, I want the police to know, I want Alan Gray to know, I want everybody to know, I won't grass. Not on this fella. He done me a great big favour. He owed me a favour, just for the record. That's through the scrap metal game as well. He owed me a favour. Oh, he done it for me. And I won't grass on him. Until the day I die, I'll never grass on him. Right. I'll never give you
now,
the same.
The other thing is, you bought this watch yourself.
Yeah. £150.
Where from?
Oh, where from?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's quite easily. Do you know, it's the one-way system now. It's all changed now, because going back 4 years ago.
Yes.
Yeah. Actually, I think it was still existing, but unfortunately, I don't drive. I must emphasise this point. I don't drive.
Yes.
Right, so I rely on buses. I got off, and where Lewis's is, at a corner.
Yes. Of Ranelagh Street.
Ranelagh Street, thank you. Lewis's, right. You got Charlotte Street.
Great Charlotte Street, yes.
Right. No, I'm still not describing it right. I'm still not describing it right.
Did you go down Ranelagh Street,
no.
Or did you go along Lime
no,
Street?
No, I tell you, Cat Lime Street. What I've done, I got off the bus at Lime Street.
Yes.
And I was walking towards Lewis's.
Yes.
So, I don't know the name of that road.
Yeah.
But you know which road?
Well, it could be in Renshaw Street.
No.
Lime Street.
No, I can show you that now. I can show you the road now. I can actually show you the shop where I got it from.
Yes.
And what have you. No, I got off the bus at the Empire.
Yes.
And I walked along directly as if I'm going to Lewis's.
Yes.
So what the hell are the name of that road is? I don't know if it's
which
Lime
road,
Street.
On the left or right?
Well, I'm in Lime Street. I got off on Lime Street and I'm walking.
There's Lord Nelson Street.
Well,
then you go along past the station in Lime Street and you've got Skellhorn Street.
No.
On the right, you've
Alan,
got St. John's
got
Lane.
Alan, you've got your bearings wrong.
I haven't.
You
got off
got
at the Empire and you walked along Lime Street, you said.
Yes.
Then you go towards Lime Street Station. Going towards Lewis's.
Lewis's.
Exactly.
So what's the name of that street?
Now which street? Elliot Street. St. John's Lane.
The main street that goes...
Lime Street.
From
you're in Lime Street, yeah?
Yeah, well, I'm in Lime Street.
Devil, I don't know.
But it changes halfway in between.
No, it doesn't.
It does, actually. now. It does. Anyway, it's a one-way street.
You mean St George's Place on the right by the hotels where they used to be and all that?
Yeah. No.
To the top.
I don't. Before you get to the Adelphi, going, walking towards the Adelphi, there's a jeweller's on the right-hand
side. That's right.
Hand side.
Right-hand side. Ah, that's the same side then as Lewis's. Lewis is not being in Lime Street. Lewis is being on the corner of Renshaw Street and Skell, and then...
So you know which jewellers I mean now?
Well, I assume that that jeweller's on the right there.
And that's very bold to believe in watch.
And how much did you pay for it?
£150.
Was it in the window as a second-hand watch, was it, right?
Nope.
You just...
Nope.
Did you ask for an old watch?
I specifically asked.
For an old gold watch?
I specifically asked.
Right.
Now, if I didn't have anything...
Just to confirm
I just
mate.
Want to confirm this again.
Yeah.
If I hadn't any success with that jeweller's...
Yeah, you'd have gone elsewhere.
I would have.
It was very clever, this.
Until...
Very clever.
Until I went elsewhere.
When was this, Mike?
As usual, unfortunately...
You're bad on dates. About?
No.
Roughly?
Everybody says I'm bad on dates. I'm not bad on dates.
You just do it on purpose, do you?
I do it on purpose.
Like Alf Waits and Little Ones.
1990. Jesus Christ.
In 1990, you went into that jewellers and bought that watch.
I'll tell you who I went with as well.
Who?
Oh, fucking hell. Yes, Ab, this is where you're always going to lose. But the point is, the dead can't speak. Great win.
Is that where you went with Billy? Sorry, well, tell me, Mike, I don't know.
I hope she hears this tape eventually. The dead can't speak. Sonny Devereux.
You went with Tony, eh? In 1990.
Yeah.
Now, you said you got a receipt, Mike.
Yeah.
Will you let me see it, please? Come on, son. This is for you as well as for anybody else, you know.
And go back to Anne. Well, this is what I'm saying. This is no bullshit, this.
Yeah. Well, I'll move on this, as you instruct me.
This is no...
But only if I have the receipt.
Yes. And this is no bullshit.
I've got the receipt. I'll make it, as you say, and...
This is no bullshit.
Yes.
This is why you got to go to Anne.
Right. Now, where's the receipt?
Tony Devereux. It's on 137 Fountain Road, Godfitton. He's dead and buried now. The house is all boarded up. Tony and I done all that. We kept everything in Tony's house.
Yeah.
We kept a lot in Tony's house. I'll tell you where it is. It's in the front room by the gas meter, under the gas meter. That's where the bloody receipt is. And I haven't been able to get back.
And what's the number of the road?
137 Fountains Road. That's where the bloody... And I can't get in there. Now,
you just told me you had it in your back pocket.
I know. I honestly haven't... I've just seen how far you go. I've just seen what you were doing. I've just seen how much you've been... But I'll tell you where it says, Mr. Gosford. Now, I swear. Now, I will swear. Unfortunately, I haven't got a Bible here. So you're gonna have to send me word on the sacred salt of Jesus. We're gonna have to sing it. Why is it all safe? We're gonna have to believe the scotch in between.
Yeah. This is mine.
The point is, I tell you exactly where the receipt is.
Why did you tell me before you had it in your back pocket?
Why?
Yeah.
Because I wanted to tell you, in a sense. Oh well, that's very easy to explain.
Yeah.
You're that desperate. To prove it.
Yes.
I'm that desperate to prove it. But I can't bloody well prove it until either one of you, you better not finish, until either you and I, or the police for that matter, break into Tony's house.
Well, we don't have to break in. There's legal ways of doing things.
Well, I didn't know. I thought we might.
I would never even think for 1 minute of committing an offence to conduct my affairs.
Well, that's why.
As a private detective.
That's why I thought, well, the only way I can prove it.
Yes.
It's in. The receipt, and it's factual, I'll tell you exactly where the receipt is, and I'll also tell you where there's a hell of a lot more documents.
Under the gas meter, which has gone out now, no doubt.
No, the house is up for sale.
And there's more documents in there.
Yeah.
Whereabouts?
Right. 137 Bastard Road, the house is up for sale. The Devereux own it, because obviously Tony, to sheer common sense, left the house to the family.
Yes.
They haven't been able to sell the house.
137 pounds old.
They haven't been able to sell the house.
Yes.
Because it's an ex-corporation house.
Yes.
And ex-corporation houses in that area don't sell. It's been on the market now for 3.5 years, nearly 4 years since he died. Okay.
Yes.
Now inside, in his back parlour, this is where our story will never make sense in a million years. This is how I know Anne's story is totally fabricated. This is how I know I can prove Anne's story beyond all doubt. This is how I know that you can fuck Paul Feldman completely. I've made several inquiries to the estate agents. Now if you go down there, and you go down 137 Patton Road, you are going to see one estate agent after another estate agent, another estate agent.
All on the property?
All on the property.
Yeah.
Never sold it before. Yeah. Right.
How many, who's the ones to get into?
Well, we had one stop on property. Well, it depends now. It depends on the family. I mean, every time we go down there, there seems to be a different bloody sign. But the last one, Devereux, the last one was 137, one stop. It's just a local estate agent around this area. It was called One Stop Property. That was the last one. The previous one before that was Williams's. The previous one before that was, I can't think who it was. Halifax, but it would, anyway, come on, they've been trying to sell a bleeding property.
Now, you mentioned other documents. What kind of documents?
Exactly.
Mike.
Now, Anne, this is where I'm always making the same mistake.
What kind of documents, Mike?
Well, if you let me get my story out, if you can get into 137, mm-hmm. That's if you can get in there.
And not under the gas meter, under the gas meter.
Yeah, but which room?
And you said the front room, ground floor?
Second room.
Second floor, you mean?
As you walk in.
Back kitchen.
As you
back lounge.
As you walk in.
Yes.
So this house, it's a long hallway. The stairs are on the right-hand side. There's the living room in the front, which was his living room, which he had a stereogram and a radiogram and a couple of chairs and a carpet, and it was all fitted out, okay. But it was the back room, meaning the one, not like my house, you know where I've got these sliding doors. He could have had the same, but he didn't. He had the wall in between. You follow what I mean?
Yes.
So it was in the second room. And in the second room, as you go in, and I mean directly as you go in the second room, as you walk in that door, there's a gas meter in the corner. It's where the gas...
Can you see it right away?
Oh, yes, I can see that up here.
No, it's not in a cupboard or anything.
Oh, no. Oh, yeah, it's in a cupboard. It's in a cupboard, but you follow what I mean? I know where the because I'll tell you why. Well, I'll tell you why. I might as well get it on safe now. I'll tell you why. Because that's where he used to hide his bottle of sherry. That's where he used to hide his bottle of scotch. Away from the family. Because he totally didn't want me to bloody well know the family. Oh, the family all knew he was drinking. But Tony had this bloody bee in his bonnet that, even though he was drinking and everything, he didn't want the family to know. The family actually did know. Well, then again, I kept that away from the family. And I did keep that away from
the
family.
So did he
see? So I am getting off
it. Whereabouts was the receipt then? Under the gas meter or behind us?
In the gas cupboard.
In the gas cupboard, right.
There's several. It's not just the receipt.
Well, the family have probably cleared them out now, haven't they?
No, they haven't. Because Tony and I were dead bloody clever. Tony and I help. Tony, which is an important fact before I explain this, it's very important that you know. Tony's family knew he was bloody well drinking. I don't think they wanted that to come out at all. So, what I used to do, go down there, and I used to hide. There's probably Toby to do in the morning, I used to go and buy it for him. But he didn't want his family to know he was drinking, even though his family did know he was drinking.
Yes.
If you can you understand what I'm trying to say?
Yes.
You know, but he could never find any bleeding evidence. Where to leave the bottles with.
Yeah. Well, so take that point, Mike.
Yeah, no, this is the point I'm getting to. Yeah. So me and Tony hatched this little plot. Well, if they're going to come in, Tony, if they're going to come and see you, where the hell can we hide things? Where the hell? So Tony says to me, he says, well, he's got a fractured hip. He says, well, there's only one place that we can hide things. I said, well, where? I said, where? For Christ's sake, do you want me to go and stash them upstairs? Do you want me to go and stash them under your sink? Do you want me to go and do it? He said, no. He said, it's staring right in front of you. I said, where? He said, the bleeding gas cupboard. I said, oh, no. I said, that's the first place the family's going to bleed. My luck for a bottle of scotch or a half bottle of scotch. He said, no, Mike. I was in the gas cupboard. You get the gas cupboard. And it's about, you know. I'll describe it now. And I will describe it now. This, sorry, I'm bad with my hand. That, for argument's sake, is a very large gas cupboard. The gas meter is there. It's right here, and what have you. There's a wooden partition that Tony built.
On the right of the meter?
On the right of the meter, that Tony built in himself.
A little wooden block light.
It was a little wooden block, it was about that bloody high. Yeah. Enough to hide a bottle of bleeding scotch.
And you can pull it out and
pull it out.
Put stuff behind it.
And put stuff behind it.
And that's where everything is.
And that's where every bloody thing is.
All kinds of things.
The lot. Tony and
papers,
I.
Papers, rough notes.
Papers, what? Rough notes.
Compass.
I bet you. I bet you if I bought some dollar, there's a bottle of fucking sherry or a bottle of scotch there.
Yeah. Anything else? The compass there, is it?
No. No. All it's got that. It hasn't got that.
Tapes?
No.
Rough notes?
All the notes. I bet you. And I swear to God, I really swear to God, if I never see Caroline again, I swear to God, that's where the bloody fucking papers are. And I can't get back into that house. And if I could get back in that house, I'd be back in there
and
tomorrow.
137.
Fountains Road.
Right, thanks very much, Dan. 137
and that's
Fountains
where,
Road.
And that's where everything is. And that's where Anne has just got herself bloody well fucked. And that's where Thurman.
Right. Okay. All right, Mike. Well, the time now is coming up to 1:20. And we're going to cease taping now because we've both got things to do. Okay, Mike?
I've got shopping to do and so on. I've got to go into town now to solicitors and things. Do some work. Is
the tape off now? The tape's going to come off in a minute.
Let's
cease taping now. Okay, Mike. Well, I'm here in Fountains Road. 179 it goes up to. In this particular part of the road. So it goes up to 179 and just down the hill on this particular part of the estate, 153. So 153 to 179 on one side of Westminster Road, and on the other side we've got a school and a church, all been here for many years, and the first dwelling we come to is new one, new corporation property, is numbered 89. So there you are. What a break, eh? There's no 137. So we've got the number of the house wrong. So much for the preceding story at this stage. Yes, I'm a bit disappointed at this stage, but then again, you know, the man's got a problem thinking, bringing dates back. I suppose I'll have to take him to Fountains Road to point the house out to me personally.
The young woman, as she jumped out, she said, save me, save me. Well, I ask you, so what would you have done?
I should have escorted her to the nearest coffee shop.
Oh, would you? No wonder you're getting these pipes.
I'll have you know my crown's just coming through.
Yeah, now you come to mention it, you're getting a bit thin on top.
Silence! What happened next?
what happened next? Well, the old lady apparently had lost her way, you see. Well, I offered to show her the way. And do you know what she said?
No.
How did you guess?